Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
And welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129. I'm Carrie Weber. I'm here with Father Matt Malone and Father Jim Martin, and we are talking about the Year of Mercy, which began yesterday, December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And we are hoping to hear from you as well about how your Year of Mercy has gone so far, or perhaps more appropriately, what you hope it might bring. What is your parish doing? What are you doing? Do you have questions about this Year of Mercy? Give us a call. 1-888-3-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. We have a caller, Paul from New York. We'll go straight to Paul's question. Paul, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you. Just real quick background. I'm from a family of six. My father went to church every day. And at this point in time, three of us are still Catholic and go to church, and the other three, one is Lutheran, one, and the other two just don't go anymore and don't see themselves as Catholic. And why do I bring that up? Because I feel that this Year of Mercy is not so much, you know, for what we see on television, you know, the war in Iraq and ISIS, etc. It's for the evangelization and the light of fire for the people in the pews that maybe are just going to church every Sunday and checking the box and not really understanding what's going on in the Mass and learning more and digging in and actually evangelizing the Catholic faith and making it known that we're different. We're, you know, so those Catholics are different. They love each other and they speak well of each other and they help out and they have good attitudes and they're looking forward to the future with hope. And
wow.
I hope people get that to confession. A lot of folks I know, I'll tell you, have you been to confession? Well, what am I going to say in there? What are you telling your sins? I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal any cars or steal any money. What am I going to go to confession for? You know, I think people don't understand that the grace that comes with the sacrament of confession. And I'm praying right now that they do and they get the courage to go to confession and understand what it is and go back to confession.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate the call. Interesting point, you know, that we tend to think of mercy as something that we give to others, we extend to others, but it's also something that we receive. So all of us are being offered a gift in this moment, aren't we?
Yeah, I liked what the caller had to say. I think that, you know, we do attract people, you know, they will know that we are Christians by our love, as the old song goes from the 60s. And certainly if people see the church as a place of mercy and a place that's offering mercy, it will attract people. But you're right, Matt. You know, it is a question of being, of receiving mercy, and certainly in the sacrament. One of the best things I ever heard about the sacrament of reconciliation or confession or penance, depending on what people call it, is that confession is not about how bad you are, but how good God is, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, the Pope is always talking about God never tires of forgiving. He said that the other day. So I think that's true. I think if people can be called back to the sacrament and called back to a sense of more basically God's mercy in their lives, it's all to the good. And if that can attract them back to the church, even better.
And you, right. you two probably know that the, but our listeners might not, that the Pope is, as he's deploying this, like, confession commando squad, and he's made, you know, he's made some exceptions to some of the rules and all the rest to make it easier to go to confession, encourage people to, isn't that right?
Yeah, and that's part of it. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about this quality of mercy in general is that it is so multifaceted, is that it can talk about how we interact with our global society, and it also addresses how we are in our relationship with God and a relationship with others in the church. It's all of these things at once, and one does not necessarily exclude the other, and that's what's so beautiful about
mm-hmm,
it.
Right.
And the years of the Jubilee year in general has traditionally been a time of prayer and penance as well, and the Jubilee doors, the holy doors at the Vatican that are opened, are sort of pushed open to recognize that prayer and penance are sort of ways in which we open the doors to God's mercy.
Yes.
And we were talking about this the other day in the office. The popes used to open these doors with like a silver hammer, and they would mm-hmm. smash like actual concrete on the doors, but then it started falling on popes and it would seem dangerous. So John Paul II just decided,
yeah, apparently
I'm
it almost
push them open.
OSHA
yeah.
violation.
Yeah. It almost killed Paul VI, apparently, yeah, with a big hunk of concrete. You know, I read something interesting today that one of the, you know, there are lots of different doors of mercy. By the way, we could do a whole show on how it is that the Pope officially opened up the Year of Mercy yesterday on the Feast of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception in the Vatican, when a week or two ago he announced that he had officially opened it in Bangui, in the Central African Republic, in the cathedral there.
If it's a Kairos moment, yeah, it transcends time and space.
That's so funny. That's very theological, right?
All of the doors are opening.
All of time is present to God. But I read something very beautiful that there are, you know, obviously we saw yesterday at St. Peter's Basilica, there's this grand holy door with the bronze doors. And one of the holy doors is in a refugee camp in Iraq in a tent.
Wow.
And so that's another sort of sign of
amazing,
the Pope. Trying to go out to the margins. I know it's very moving.
There are these ministers of mercy. I know, I mean, I jokingly call them a commando squad, but he's actually encouraged priests to be ministers of mercy and try to make these people available in a special way during the season.
Yeah, and he extended the ability of all priests now to forgive the sin of abortion, which was in some dioceses reserved for the bishop. It's just, and he's trying the best he can do, which I think is great, to proclaim this year of mercy and to let people know about living a merciful life. Now, I was going to ask Carrie a question, since she wrote a wonderful book called Mercy in the City, award-winning book. It really is. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Carrie, I'm sure you get asked this question a lot at all the talks that you do. When people say to you, well, what practical things can I do in my life to live mercifully? How do you answer them?
You are the best person to answer that.
You
also should have the award for best subtitle ever.
Yeah, right.
Well, that comes in part from Father Jim Martin, who inspired that through a little brainstorming session in our office
one day. We had a lot of fun, right?
We weren't doing much work there.
Carrie was, and I was very busy.
He was very busy writing.
Tell us the great subtitle. It is a fun subtitle.
Let's see how brilliant you really are.
No, we came up with it together.
How to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, visit the imprisoned, and keep your day job. And I think the reason that it tends to evoke a chuckle from people is because it really addresses a real struggle, is that people are like, well, look, I'm doing this other stuff that is for my
family. I'm not Mother Teresa.
I'm not going to drop all of this. And so I think the first thing that people need to do is to lift up and recognize the works of mercy that they already do and that are already present in their life. Because so often people will say, well, I can't go to the soup kitchen because I have a sick parent and I'm caring for them. Or, you know, I have a newborn child who I need to feed so I can't go volunteer here or there. But those things, that care that we show for the people we already know and love are also works of mercy. And ideally, you know, those works of mercy, again, they seep into us and they allow us to be more open to works of mercy in the broader world as well, and vice versa. Anything that we are doing on behalf of a larger systemic injustice really should be at its heart on behalf of the individuals who are affected, not just because of statistics or because of graphs that we see, but because we know that individual people and families are affected by these issues, and that is really what is at the heart of why we act the way we act. So recognizing that first, sometimes I think just makes people feel like, okay, this is possible, you know, because so often we're so constrained by our sense of time in the chronos sense, and it can make it really hard to try to look at that in a practical way.
Yeah, or we get overwhelmed. We think, how can I help 60 million refugees? And, you know, one of the insights I found mysterious and provocative and inspiring is that when you think about it, you know, after Jesus's public ministry in Galilee and Judea was finished, you know, the crucifixion, of course, the resurrection, but then he leaves after the ascension. Not everyone in Galilee and Judea was free of illness, right? I mean, and what does that mean? In other words, he did not cure everybody. He did not raise everybody from the dead. And who does he deal with? He deals with the people who are in front of him, right? I mean, obviously his message is for the world, but, you know, he deals with the woman with the hemorrhage who comes up. He deals with the Roman centurion whose servant is sick. He deals with, Jairus and Jairus's daughter. So it's a reminder that, you know, we are meant to be merciful to the person in front of us, and that's a good start. That does not negate the fact that we need to think globally and sort of turn our minds to the larger questions. But as you say, we can always begin at home. We can begin in our workplace. We can begin, you know, in our neighborhood. And that's great. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
And that's what Jesus did. He began in his neighborhood. Of course, they kicked him out of Nazareth, so he went to another neighborhood. But that's who he was dealing with, the person in front of him.
Right. And St. Teresa of Avila talks about the fact that the Lord does not care so much for the importance of our works as for the love with which they are done.
Mm.
And so you can feed as many people as you want, but if you do it sort of begrudgingly or angrily,
right,
here, take a sandwich, you know,
yeah, right,
that doesn't necessarily mean you're being merciful.
That's right.
It reminds me of a Henny Youngman joke, you know, when the guy goes to the door and he knocks on it and a widow answers and he says, "Do you have any food?" And she says, do you like day old soup? And he says, "Yes." And she says, "Come back tomorrow."
I love Henny Youngman.
But, you know, it's interesting. The number is 888-322-8465 if you'd like to join our conversation about mercy and the year of mercy. But you raise an interesting point, Father Jim, because it seems to me, the Pope said this week, you know, mercy must always precede judgment,
mm-hmm,
right? Because that's how we reach right judgments.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me then that a constitutive element of mercy is this, is another theme that he's returned to time and again, which is see the person. You
mm-hmm
have to see the person in front of you, as mm-hmm you said, in all of their complexity and in all of their sorrow and in all of their hope and in, you know, all of their goodness and in all of their sin, so that your whatever judgment is rendered fairly and accounts for the whole person and their experience.
Exactly. I mean, it's the Pope's idea of encounter and accompaniment, two words that he likes to use. And, you know, of course, you know, the Pope doesn't mean that judgment is not important. I always like to tell people that, you know, God does judge. A God who doesn't judge is a God who doesn't care, and God obviously cares what we're doing. But when it comes to our lives, you know, we are called to be merciful first, as Jesus was. I always like to point to the story of Zacchaeus. You know, very briefly, Jesus is going through Jericho. He sees the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, in the tree. And the chief tax collector is also the chief sinner in the area. And, you know, he calls him down and says, "I want to dine at your house," which was this kind of merciful gesture and this gesture of welcome. Then Zacchaeus says, "I'll repay anybody four times over."
Right.
So Jesus says it's mercy before judgment in Jesus's way, and that's the way that we're supposed to walk. And also, Mother Teresa, I saw a meme on the internet yesterday. I mean, all these great Mother Teresa quotes. If we judge someone, we're too busy to love them, you know. And so judgment takes up a lot of our kind of mental space rather than, you know, being merciful to them, just as you said, Matt, encountering them and meeting them as they are.
Yeah, and I think it was also Mother Teresa who said, "You only love God as much as the person you love the least."
Yeah, that's right.
Which
mm-hmm
is pretty wow scary mm-hmm if
yeah
you think about how angry yes you can get at people or
oh,
how
yeah
annoyed you get at people for very small
yeah
reasons. But
that's
if you think of
sentiment
that person as, you know, as being Christ-like, as having Christ, a spark of that divine presence in them, then you really have to think about how you interact with them.
Well, and fighting their own battles. I mean, I think 95% of the spiritual life is sometimes these kind of banal statements you see on bumper stickers. You know, be kind to everyone, they're fighting their own battles. You know, even people who are cruel to you and mean to you are struggling in some way. And can you see them as God sees them? And can you make the somewhat heroic leap of forgiving people even though you don't understand them, right?
Right.
Even though you don't understand why this person is so mean to you or so cruel or whatever. Can you forgive them anyway? Jesus, you know, and can you pray for them? I preached about this last weekend, St. Ignatius in New York. You know, and someone came up to me and said, "I don't know if I can pray for my persecutors. What am I supposed to pray for people who persecute me and people like ISIS?" And I said, "Well, you know, remember when Jesus is on the cross and he says, 'Father, forgive them for they know not what they do.' That's a prayer."
Yeah.
I mean, he is praying to the Father. Now, obviously, Jesus, you know, is the example par excellence of sacrifice, but that's our goal, right?
Right.
That's the goal. Can we see that as a valid and healthy thing? And as Pope Francis said, a freeing thing, you know, something
right
that'll help all of us.
Because
and,
I think, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that element of mercy where you see the person in the way that God sees
mm
the person,
mm-hmm,
right? That's been very helpful in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very helpful when I'm talking with folks, counseling them in some way. They'll say, "I'm having such difficult time forgiving this person. I can't get past. I can't really pray for them." You know, I'll often suggest, you know, why don't you pray and ask God
yeah
to forgive this person, or why don't you pray and ask God to reveal to you how God sees this person, right? And often that's just enough
yeah
distance, you know,
yeah
that it opens up a space in which you can see somebody in a more complete way.
That's absolutely right. And it's a grace. I think it's a grace that God always gives, frankly. Yeah. And I think, you know, as St. Ignatius said, even if you have, if you didn't have the desire to pray for the person, even if you have the desire for the desire, God can work through that. Right. That's an open door.
And I think it's so important because we are, this concept of mercy is in the context of our community, is that it's not us just being merciful alone or to, you know, dispensing mm-hmm. that mercy to others. It's that all of us are merciful together in a community, and that our community calls things out of us that we don't even recognize in ourselves. And sometimes those are qualities we'd rather not recognize, and sometimes those are things that really deserve to be lifted up and can't be unless they are part of that community. Mm-hmm. And that's so important.
That's a great image. So the church as a community of mercy. And, you know, to respond to the first caller's question, how attractive and how appealing that would be for people if that's the way. And, you know, you're right, Matt. I mean, I think 10 years ago, the church was seen primarily in the United States as, you know, sex abuse. Mm-hmm. And now I think, which is a great tribute to the Holy Spirit and Pope Francis, it's seen as, oh, I love your Pope. I think the Pope would probably prefer if we could be seen as a community of mercy, you know, how much more attractive that would be for people in terms of drawing them to closer to Christ.
Amen to that. The book is The Abbey, and it is James Martin's first novel, and it's available where all fine books are sold, where you will also find Mercy.
In the
Mercy
City.
In the City.
Mercy in the City by Carrie Weber.
Can also be practiced in the suburbs.
which also comes highly, highly recommended from the editors of America.
from these Father, three people, one of whom wrote it.
Father James Martin, thanks so much for being with us today to talk about the Jubilee Year of Mercy.
My pleasure.
Okay, when we come back, we are going to be talking with David Naglieri about the new film Guadalupe, The Miracle and the Message, Big Feast Day this month, and an important new documentary. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.